Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Thank you, Charlie Kirk Show. A normal person changes the narrative. Billboard Chris joins the program. Amazing story. Listen carefully. He's really incredible. Tom Homan reflects on the open border policies of Joe Biden. And we get into some very specific policy conversations. If you're interested in that, you're going to love this. Incredibly technical and very important. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter. Really important. Come to AmFest, AMFEST.com, Phoenix Convention Center, December 16, 17, 18, 19. And email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is someone I have admired from afar on social media. He's a very courageous man and very effective. Billboard Chris joins us now. It's billboardchris.com. If you're not familiar with Billboard Chris, he's a father of two girls, and he decided to take a stand against gender ideology. And he goes out into the street over 2,500 hours and has conversations while wearing a billboard. For example, one of them is children cannot consent to puberty blockers. His name is Chris Elston, and he joins us now. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Charlie. It's a big honor to be here.
So, Chris, tell us your story. 2,500 hours in the streets, kind of a free speech advocate of the West. Tell us your story and what you have learned by having over 2,500 hours of dialogue.
Sure. So in 2019, I learned about these things called puberty blockers. And I'm just a normal dad living out in the suburbs who used to be a financial advisor. And I've got two little girls, and I said to myself, what the heck are puberty blockers? And I looked it up. And of course, these are drugs being given to kids to stop their development because these kids have been led to believe that they were born in the wrong body, which is extraordinarily psychologically abusive, never mind all the physical harm coming to these kids. And I learned all about this. And the more I learned, the worse it got. And I decided to take a stand against what I consider to be the greatest child abuse scandal in modern medicine history. And the only way I could really reach people as a guy with no platform or anything was to head outside and talk to them one-on-one. And I had a vision for this whole thing. And I knew if I just kept going outside talking to people that I would help educate them and help to activate other people. And when the borders opened up in 2021, I started heading down to the States, where it's been just phenomenal. I get so much support down there. There are so many great conservative organizations helping me. And today, this is the number one cultural issue of the day, raising awareness about this child abuse all over the conservative airwaves. We have 20 states just this past year who have passed legislation to stop this madness. And I just keep going, traveling the world. I was just in London. I'll be heading to Australia in a few months. And I'm never going to stop this until this child abuse stops.
So I have just a very quick question, then I'm going to play your piece of tape here that's gone incredibly viral. Do free speech laws allow you to do this in Canada without fear of reprisal or recourse?
Yeah. So our free speech laws aren't as good as yours. We do have freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, and all that. Section one of what is called our Charter of Rights and Freedoms says these following freedoms are subject to reasonable limits as prescribed by law. So who makes the law? Lawmakers, of course. So that makes this a lot weaker. But I go wherever I want, say whatever I want, and in defiance of what our government wants, and I've been fine. I have been arrested twice after getting assaulted. I was charged with causing a disturbance and banned from walking on all the streets of Vancouver, Canada. But that was a violation of my rights. I was really looking forward to going to court. But of course, the prosecutor dismissed the charge before that ever happened. And I think I've embarrassed a lot of police forces, so they just leave me alone now pretty much.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I mean, Canada does not have, as you say, as robust free speech protections as we hear have in the States. Okay, I want to, before I play it, kind of lead us up. What is the context of this video? Essentially, it is, from my understanding, Antifa sympathizers getting into a debate with pro-Palestinian marchers about how Muslims don't believe in gender transitions. Set the stage before we play this tape here.
Sure. So I was in London for the ARC conference last week, and I kept a few days on the end of my trip so I could go out on the street. And of course, this huge protest is going on. So I go to wherever people are, and I was there. I was hanging out by Trafalgar Square, and I was just walking along, and some guy masked up said, "F you, you effing fascist." So for me, that's a fish on the hook. So I turned on my phone and I started filming, and I had a conversation with him. And what I usually do with these guys is I ask questions to get them to challenge their own beliefs, because they have no idea why they support what they do. They just know that this is the acceptable opinion for them. And this is some Antifa guy, and he started getting really agitated. Three young Muslim women came along to see what the fuss was all about. He appealed to them for support, and of course, they totally destroyed him, because he said something like, "He thinks kids can't be trans." And of course, they said that they can't. And then they berated him, and he ran away.
Okay, let's play the tape here. See it for yourself, everybody. Play cut 53.
You know, this about guy half is kids? Trying to propagate anti-LGBTQ, anti-LGBTQ propaganda. He's trying to tell children that they are not allowed to be trans.
Yeah, they're not.
Suck your mom, bro.
No. You have black nail polish on as a man, my bro.
Stop talking.
There is some religions you can't do that. Yeah, you have to respect that decision. But in some religions, they expect that. But in our religion, you can't do that. So we don't agree with your faith. Thank you.
What are you then? What do you even identify yourself as? What do you identify as?
This little coward wearing his mask. He doesn't have a religion.
What do you identify as? No, wait. What do you identify yourself as?
Chris, that video exposes the contradiction in real time. That is a 45-second window, a microcosm of the universe of separations that actually the left has. It's a snapshot. It's an incredibly powerful thing, because here you have these rather passionate, by the way, they happen to be right, Muslim women arguing with a white, woke, typical European person, and you saw it unfold. That it's a very deep. There's a reason why this has gone viral. Chris, tell us about it.
Yeah, I think that guy's actually American, by the way. But no, of course, no Muslims support this. And in Canada, on September 10th, across the country, I mean, I've been traveling myself, standing out on my own for the longest time, unable to find any supporters. This year, just 2 months ago, we had 30,000 people across the country protesting this, and tons of them were Muslims. Because, of course, Muslims don't support gender ideology. Boys are boys, girls are girls, and that's that. And they all know that. So they're not in favor of any of this, and they're starting to find their voice. But this is where intersectionality, where different worlds collide. And he's out there supporting these pro-Palestinian marchers. And of course, they do not support him at all. So it's just a really poignant clip that shows how leftism ultimately isn't going to have success, because all of these immigrant communities and everything don't support any of this nonsense about gender transition.
Yeah, so there's an important thing here, which is intersectionality. And we built this out pretty comprehensively on this program. But until it was exposed by a third party, which is you, the Palestinian Arab women and the woke guy were friends. But a third party introduced into that forced marriage created friction and tension and a schism. That could be a very interesting blueprint, isn't it? Because in some ways, that is a microcosm of how we expose the inherent contradictions in the tribes that compose the Marxist left.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew this was going to happen because, of course, tons of these radical leftists are out there supporting this. And they simply do not mix these two different groups when it comes to this issue. So I thought it would be powerful to expose that. I just take whatever happens. And fortunately, that clip went incredibly viral. It's been seen probably tens of millions of times. And yeah, going forward, hopefully this helps to empower more Muslims to continue speaking up about this. because the left doesn't know what to do with them. Someone like myself, a white conservative male, they can just easily dismiss. But as we saw with this Antifa guy, he was left speechless himself and he ran away. So we need all these voices to speak up against this child abuse.
Chris, please plug your website.
Billboardchris.com. There's a donate button they can click there, which would be very helpful because I literally survive off $30 and $50 donations. What I really want people to do is get informed about this and start having these discussions. Because when we don't know anything about this, we can't talk about it. And when people don't know what to do, they end up doing nothing. So please get yourself educated. Follow me on Twitter, @BillboardChris. Same thing on Instagram.
I get asked all the time, what can I do? Charlie, I'm helpless. What can I do? I mean this in the most positive way, Chris. But here you are, one guy with a sign who is now impacting hundreds of millions of people. I never want to hear from our audience, but there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Chris is a living, breathing example that anybody can change the zeitgeist, the Overton window, and the narrative. One guy with a sign, but it took work. You got to get off your tail and standing in the public, recording and having conversations for 2,500 hours. That is thankless work. But you deserve gratitude, Chris, and we are thankful.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
The wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's improved your overall day-to-day how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We've got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's balance of nature because it's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life, and I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. I've got more energy, and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
So, Chris, let me just make sure I understand. You support your family and your lifestyle, and you just started going out with a sign. Tell us more about it. It's just an amazing story, and now you impact tens of millions of people.
Yeah, literally just did this all from nothing. I just felt a calling to go raise awareness about this. I'm a dad. All I care about are my girls, and all I care about is the world I'm going to leave for them. I'm an old guy now. I don't care about my own life, but I'm not going to send my girls into a world that doesn't know what a woman is or a world trying to change the sex of children. We just cannot tolerate this. So I have a financial background. I kind of viewed this like compounding interest. You start with a dollar, you double it, pretty soon you're at a million. And I knew if I just started reaching people one at a time, this would grow into something. I knew other events would happen and viral videos would start going. So it's just working. And really what I'm also trying to do is activate other people. So for example, in November of 2021, I was in Texas. I jumped on a Twitter space at night and I saw this group called Moms for Liberty. I had no idea who they were. And I talked to Tiffany Justice, the co-founder that night, told her what I was doing. She believed in me. She learned all about this. And now there's 130,000 moms fighting. So that's one way I'm able to leverage my efforts. And it's just working spectacularly well. We have to believe that we can achieve whatever we want in life. If there's a huge problem, we can't be cowed by that. We just take it one day at a time.
What do you have to say to people that will push back, oh, there's nothing I can do, it doesn't make a difference, I'm just a normal person?
well, that's all I am. That's all of us are. We're all just people. But especially in this age of social media, it's possible to reach millions, and you can do it quickly. You can go to a school board meeting, write a good 2 or 3 minute speech, and lay into these school board members who are trying to transition kids without their parents' knowledge. Tell them you're not okay with it. Get that recorded and it goes viral. Just do something. Join an organization like Moms for Liberty. Get involved with universities. Get involved with Turning Point. Do whatever you can. But my gosh, we have to fight back against all this nonsense going on in the West. We have to stop apologizing for truth.
Chris, some people say, but aren't you afraid to walk around with a sign? You could get attacked, Chris. How do you do this?
Well, I do get attacked. I've had my arm broken by Antifa. I've been assaulted probably 30 times, but whatever. Look what's happening to kids. They're cutting off the body parts of children. There's a girl named Layla Jane in California right now. She was 13 years old when they cut off her breasts in grade 8. She just left elementary school. Now she's suing. Harmeet Dhillon is her lawyer. But she was led to believe that she was born wrong. What the heck does that even mean? I think a lot of people have been confused because the left uses all these euphemisms to describe all these terms. But there's no such thing as a transgender child. They're called girls and boys. And the positive message we should be sending is that they're beautiful just as they are. No drugs or scalpels needed. I say that all the time. There are two sexes, there are zero genders, and there are infinite personalities, because that sums us all up. And the left has taken the word gender, which we used as a synonym for sex for the longest time, and they've tried to make it into being some separate thing. They essentially believe that we're all in drag, that we're all performing the stereotypes associated with our sex. This whole thing is nonsense. We need to get back to reality. And we just can't be afraid, because this is a war. Our grandfathers stormed the beaches of Normandy into machine gun fire to defend the West, knowing they probably wouldn't survive the day. And I'm supposed to worry about some 130-pound trans activist in a black mask who's going to call me names? I'm supposed to worry about CBC or CNN calling me a bigot? Please, we got to get our priorities straight.
Well, a lot of people do care, Chris, and people have to get off their tail and get into the arena. And you are moving the dial significantly, and you have been attacked, but we have your back, and it builds and it builds and it builds. And then all of a sudden, a wave is created, and there's this crescendo and this cascading effect. And I hope that it resonates with at least one person in this audience that's sitting on their tail, just yelling at the screen or being negative. Final question, Chris, how do you not allow the overwhelming negativity to make you despair? So many people in our audience say, oh, it's not worth fighting. It's not worth doing this. And they just kind of, they don't do much.
I know what's right and I know what's true. And what other people think of me is irrelevant. I've got all the friends in the world I need. And I've got my wife and my two daughters. And ultimately, that's all I need. And they know who I am. So we just got to stop worrying about what other people say about us. The fact of the matter is, I've made more great friends, friends for life, in my mid-40s than I ever made the rest of my life combined. Because I'm living a purpose-driven life, and I'm finding other people who are living that same purpose-driven life. And we're just going to keep building this network.
I love it.
Because traditionally, conservatives have been quiet on grassroots. Conservatives like to go home, have a barbecue, and watch football. And for leftists, they love getting involved in all these grassroots activities. But we have to build up these organizations ourselves, and we got to fight back. Because government isn't going to save us. There's no savior in the president who's going to stop it. It's up to us.
It's our agency. God bless you, Chris. We have your back. You're an inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code Charlie. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Tom Homan, former ICE director and president and CEO of border911.com, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time. I want to play a piece of tape here that has been making the rounds, and then we'll riff on it. Play cut 54.
I've done this job for over 3 decades. I've never seen numbers anywhere near this. This is drastic. This is the biggest national security failure that I've seen in this country since 9/11. This is historic. I promised President Trump when he announced that he goes back, I go back, and I'm going to run the biggest deportation operation this country's ever seen. Because these millions of people being released in this country, 9 out of 10 will get an order of removal based on immigration court data. A judge ordered them removed. We're going to find them, and we're going to remove them. There's no consequence. We can't fix the border. We're going to have a consequence in the Trump administration.
Tom, tell us about it. A second Trump term, the largest deportation force ever seen. Tell us more.
Yeah, you know, I've met with President Trump many times. I was one of the first guys that he met with when he re-announced he's coming back, and I told him I'd come back in a minute. And I told him I'd come back for free because I'm so pissed off what this administration did. We gave this administration, Charlie, the most secure border in my lifetime, and they unsecured it. I mean, the first president in history's nation that unsecured the border. So I promised President Trump I'll come back. And people need to understand, these millions of people that are released in the United States, if you look at the immigration court data over the last decades, people claim asylum at our border. Nearly 9 out of 10 never get relief from U.S. courts because they simply don't qualify, and they're going to be ordered removed. And we're going to remove them under the Trump administration, because if you're demanding due process, which we give them, due process doesn't mean squat. It's a final decision of the courts aren't carried out. So we're going to find the 9 out of 10 that get ordered removed. We're going to locate them, and we're going to deport them, because there has to be a consequence to breaking the laws of this country.
What do you have to say to some people that would, you know, say it's not logistically feasible to deport millions of people?
You know, it is very difficult. And do I think I can remove 20 million people? No, but we do it one at a time. No one's off the table. Listen, if the immigration court, if the federal judge orders somebody removed and we don't remove them because it's too hard, then let's shut down the immigration courts too, because the final orders obviously don't mean anything. No, we need to carry it out. And look, if we work with Congress and pass some legislation that if you got an order of removal from the courts, you don't qualify ever for amnesty, for DACA, for any benefits, that will certainly help to self-deport many people. You got to cut it off. You got to stop rewarding people of illegal behavior. What they're going to do, they become fugitives. They get order removal. They don't leave. They'll hide out. They'll hide out long enough for the next giveaway, the next amnesty, the next DACA. We can't allow that. That has to stop. No more rewarding illegal behavior. If we get some legislation to support that, we'll have a lot of success in removing a lot of people.
So Tom, walk us through what is occurring on the southern border as far as the morale of Border Patrol and what your average illegal that comes in contact with a Border Patrol agent right now. What does that conversation look like? Americans tend to think in their head that every single one of these people are just escaping and they're running into the interior, but it's not like that. They meet an agent. They'll declare asylum. Walk us through, what does that dialogue look like? And what are the American federal agents told to do, instructed to do when they declare asylum?
That's a great question, because the cartels teach them a few key phrases. They only got to say a few key things, and they're going to pass the interview. And they'll be really serious. Here's what's happening on the border. They catch them. They process and release as quick as possible. They'll send them to their final destination, either on a bus or airline ticket, at the cost of the United States taxpayer. You pay for this. They're going to get their final destination. They'll apply for a work authorization, and they'll go to places like New York City or Chicago. They'll get, you know, free lodging, free health care, 3 square meals a day, and work authorization. I mean, when you make those type of promises to an illegal alien population, they're not, you know, why wouldn't it come? You know, I mean, the whole world's going to come, and we are seeing a whole world coming. Over Border Patrol has arrested people from 171 different countries. And that's where I went to, this is the biggest national security failure in my lifetime, because Border Patrol has arrested people from 171 different countries. Some of these countries are sponsors of terror. They've already arrested 569 in the past year. They've arrested more people on terrorist watches on the northern border than they did on the southern border, but no one talks about that. So if they've arrested 569 people on terrorist watch list in the last year in the entire country, we got 1.7 known gotaways. These are tracked gotaways. How many of that 1.7 came from a country sponsoring terror that came here to do us harm? If people think it's zero, then they're idiots. There's no way, Not a single one of that 1.7 million gotaways didn't come or do us harm. This is the biggest national security failure this country's seen since 9/11. Mark my word. Do I know how many known suspected terrorists have entered the country with this administration? No. But someday we're going to find out. It's going to be a bad day for America.
So Tom, contrast the what Border Patrol and DHS is told to do now versus what you guys had under Trump as far as how to deal with fraudulent asylum claims, the kidnapping of children under the guise of family migration, remain in Mexico, getting the Mexican government to do their part. What are the, and I know this is a technical question, but what are the greatest policy changes that Joe Biden made? There's a lot of macro narrative changes, but specific decoupling of policy that worked, what were the ones that were the most disappointing to see?
The remain in Mexico was a game changer for the Trump administration, and President Biden ended it. That people can still claim asylum, but don't wait in Mexico for the hearing. And that way, when the 9 out of 10 lose and get order removal, we don't have to go look for them. So that was a game changer. Matter of fact, when they realized, it took about 3 months to remain in Mexico program, and they realized, hey, I'm not going to be released into the United States to not show up in court, or I'll lose my hearing and not be removed. When they realized they weren't being released in the United States, they stopped coming. So the population going to Mexico to claim asylum went down drastically. The second thing Biden administration did is end the third safe country agreements with Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. What that policy said was, if you're really escaping fear and persecution in El Salvador and you get to Mexico, have you not escaped that fear and persecution? Obviously you have, because you left the country. You should be claiming asylum in the first free country you come to, Mexico. Biden undid that policy, and he undid the construction of the border wall. Now, a lot of people say, well, the border wall don't work. We have historic illegal immigration, even though we built 465 miles of wall. But the question needs to be asked, where are the mains crossing right now? They're crossing where there isn't a wall. Walls work. Walls slow people down. Walls funnel people, the most vulnerable people like women and children, to a place there isn't a wall, where they're going to be met by Border Patrol agents who can first take care of the humanitarian crisis, because a lot of them are sick and in bad shape, and they can enforce immigration law. But and one of the most important things the Trump administration did was end catch and release. The law is clear. If you're an arriving alien without proper documentation, you shall be detained. That's what the statute says. You shall be detained. Well, we detained them or we removed them. We didn't release people. So people realized we had a consequence when you entered the United States. You want to claim a fine? Fine. You wait in Mexico. If you want to cross the border illegally, we're going to detain you in one of our facilities. And when you're detained in a facility, you get a hearing in front of an immigration judge in less than 40 days because immigration court prioritizes those in detention. If you're released, you don't get a hearing for 5 to 7 years. So within, 30, 35 days, they get a final order removal. They're in ICE detention and they're removed. People need to understand the Homeland Security Life Cycle Report, Secretary Mayorkas' very own report, says this. If you get an order removal and you're in ICE detention, you're removed 99.7% of the time. If you're not in detention and you get order removal, if you're a family unit, you leave 6% of the time. That's why we created the Remain in Mexico program. President Trump says, well, if 9 out of 10 don't qualify and only 6% leave, why do we keep releasing them? So we stopped it. It makes sense. Remain in Mexico is a game changer. And the Biden administration could turn that on today. The highest courts in the land, it says, it's legal. They could solve this border crisis today, but they don't want to solve it. This is by design. They want the open border.
So, Tom, anywhere between 8,000 to 10,000 people are coming a day. What would that number be just with just speculation? What does history show us if we reinstituted Remain in Mexico?
The Trump administration, when we had those policies in place, we averaged about 1,200 a day, and most of those 1,200 were voluntary return. So they're kept in custody, immediate return, or we detained whoever wanted to, fight their case. But we had about average of 55,000 people in detention. The Biden administration has an average of about 20,000 because they're not detaining people, they're releasing them. And the biggest thing, though, Charlie, is under Trump administration, in 4 years of Trump administration, we encountered 11 people on the terrorist watch list. This administration, they had 18 in 1 month. In September, they had 18 in 1 month. Again, I said, just on the southern border alone, 284 in 3 years on the Trump administration, 11 in 4 years. That's the biggest difference, is that border is more secure. It was less vulnerable to those terrorists when they entered the country.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers, just so everyone understands, that in April of 2020, mind you, during COVID, but still, about 16,000 people in a whole month crossed over. We are now looking at hundreds of thousands a month. This is not a 10% increase. This is a factor fold increase, right? We see entire caravans arriving. Question for you, Tom. What is the Mexican government doing, if anything, to prevent this? Or are they facilitating the invasion of America?
They're facilitating it, Charlie, because this administration isn't holding them accountable. Look, Mexico last year took over $66 billion with a B, money from remittances from illegal aliens here in the United States and sent the money back to Mexico. $61 billion. That's a big part of their GDP. They don't want to fix this thing. They got to be ordered. They got to be threatened to fix, like President Trump did. He told them, "You're going to put military in the northern and southern border. You're going to enforce your immigration laws, actually against the law in Mexico, to traffic in women and children. And finally, you're going to participate in the Remain in Mexico program. You're going to host this program." And at first, Mexico said they wouldn't do it. Then President Trump says, "Well, I'll tariff the hell out of you then."
Yep, I remember.
And all of a sudden, they did it.
It was one tweet. There was no policy committee. There was no Congress. It was a tweet when Trump got mad and he said, "Hey, if you guys don't do X by this date, 5% tariff," or might have been 10% tariff. We can find the original tweet on everything from Mexico. I remember when it happened. We were having our Young Women's Leadership Summit and the regime media lost their mind. Turns out it was one of the smartest things that Donald J. Trump did as president. One tweet. There was no executive order, no legislation, just the threat, Tom, of a 5% tariff on automobiles from Mexico made the Mexican government act super tough. Tom, just final thoughts on that.
Well, you're right. President Trump, you know, he was out of the box thinker. He got incredible assistance from Mexico, but also the Central American countries on Thursday of country agreements, they didn't want to do that either. And President Trump said, "Tom, what do we usually do?" I said, "Well, usually we give millions of dollars to help create opportunity zones so they don't leave the country, but it never works." President Trump says, "I'm not giving them any money. Matter of fact, I don't take money away." He called those three presidents, said, you will participate in the third safe country agreement. Well, I'm going to take every dollar of international aid the United States gives you away. Within 48 hours, all three presidents agreed to the safe third country agreement.
Tom Homan, we look forward to seeing you at AmFest. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We'll see you there, Charlie.
It's going to be great. Thank you. Have you become a member of the Charlie Kirk Exclusive yet? It's so easy. All you have to do is go to members.charliekirk.com today or charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Sign up for access to all of our exclusive content. Never before seen interviews, weekly columns written by me, all of my most recent speeches in one place, videos where I answer your questions and so much more. Plus, we're going to be inviting members to Zoom calls with me starting very soon. So do not miss out. Help keep us uncensored by providing you with new content daily by becoming a member. Your support means the world to me and the whole team. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. If we have blessed you in any way, if this show has impacted your life, if you like the impact that we are making for other people and young people especially, consider becoming a member. It's affordable for people of all income levels. You guys get amazing perks and benefits, and it's only beginning. So go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. I'm telling you, Israel, the issue of Israel can break the back of the Democrat Party. They have no idea how to handle this, except try and call people like me an anti-Semite. Of course, Media Matters says, "We've been documenting Charlie Kirk's escalating anti-Semitism. Today, he blamed Jewish dollars for funding cultural Marxist ideas and said that ideology must be cleansed." Yeah, that's 100% the truth. How is that anti-Semitic, by the way? It's not happening, but it's good that it is. Michael Anton, you know you're getting closer and closer to the truth and doing something powerful and significant if the other side has to resort to baseless, repeated, and frantic name-calling every time you do a segment. It's very powerful. It tells you a lot. This Thursday, there will be a walkout at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, led by the Students for Justice of Palestine, but that's not it. There's many other groups that will be there. By the way, just so happens I will be on campus simultaneously. That'll be something. Let me read this for you. Let me see if actually I could send this to you guys. We could put it up on screen really quick. It's really something. Because it's not just the Students for Justice of Palestine. It's the socialist group. It's everything. And this is the Hamas playbook. Kill Jews, then play the victim and complain that you might be held accountable for that. But it's also the union-made group, Students for Justice of Palestine, Answer Los Angeles, Mecha de UCLA. So the Hispanic group, whatever, I don't know what they do, Mecha de UCLA, Outright News Mag, all these different groups unite around the Palestine issue. Here, this is a simple but very, very accurate answer. These people are bored. These people are bored. Boredom plus affluence equals really, really bad and weird behavior. If you are bored and rich, you get existential despair. Instead of improving their own life, finding purpose, contemplating deep and meaningful ideas, they fill that void with hatred, with envy, with resentment. And the Palestine-Israel issue, or the Hamas-Israel issue, that is a simple and easy way to be able to wear the jersey of victimhood. Instead of understanding that there's quite a lot of nuance to this, going a level deeper and thinking to yourself, well, maybe there's a reason why Gaza is poor. Maybe there's a reason why all these Hamas billionaires are living the high life. And the media is morally reprehensible. The media is attacking me as an anti-Semite, which is hilarious. Los Angeles Times. This is one of the most unbelievable headlines I have ever seen. And I've seen some incredible ones. You guys have got to put this up. So there's a very tragic story of a Jewish man that was murdered, second-degree murder, at a Israel-Hamas protest in Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village. I know the area very well. How does the LA Times cover it? Jewish man in California dies after hitting head. Jewish man in California dies after hitting head during altercation at Israel-Hamas war protest. Man in California dies after suffering head injury at pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian demonstrations. NBC News. Jewish man dies after hitting head. It's like saying the 9/11 victims died in a fire or they died from a fall. Witnesses said Paul Kessler fell and struck his head. Second degree murder, manslaughter at the least. And they act as if he fell. The media manipulation against the Jews is unbelievable. Jewish man dies from injuries suffered in Israeli-Palestine rally in Westlake Village. This is some sick stuff, everybody. Could you imagine if a Muslim died at a rally like that? Would they say Muslim man fell to his death? No, they'd say that Jew killed Muslim on the streets. That's what they would say, of course. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.